ਫਤਿਹ। ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ
ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ, ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ ਜੀ।
ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ ਜੀ। ਵਾਂਸ ਅਗੇਨ ਆਈ ਐਮ ਡਾਊਨ ਵਿਦ ਅ ਸੋਰ ਥਰੋਟ, ਬਟ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਕੰਟੀਨਿਊ ਐਸ ਆਲਵੇਸ। ਆਈ ਰੀਅਲੀ ਨੀਡ ਟੂ ਸਟਾਪ ਈਟਿੰਗ ਦੋਸ ਪਕੌੜਾਸ।
Perhaps you should switch to something hardcore, you know.
Something not consisting of pakoras, something much better. Anyhow,
Something
today,
without more oil and energy.
obviously, now getting to the topic at hand as it was advertised on the poster, we are going to be stepping onto a massive nuclear minefield, I guess. And let's just start it off then. Let's just jump straight into the explosive agenda we have. Have you considered something? You know, when Guru Gobind Singh Ji initiated or did the first Amrit Sanchar, the Khande Bate da Amrit Sanchar we have today as a panth in 1698 AD, why is it that no historic granth, no such material has ever said that Guru Gobind Singh Ji had the water, the jal for the ceremony, specially transported or specially delivered from the Sarovar at Amritsar? Why is that never actually been said?
An excellent question, but since I'm currently in India, I don't wish to get shot, so I'm not going to answer it.
I mean, if you look at it from one angle, it said that, you know, the Sarovar has miraculous powers, the Sarovar is powerful, it has more than just a placebo effect on people who believe in it. And that, you know, people who bath in it, they get their limbs back, the dead come back to life. So why is it that Guru Gobind Singh Ji never had that jal from the Sarovar delivered to another Pursad? What, and then that jal was used for the Amrit Sanchar ceremony? Why is it that even today we never use the jal from Amritsar Sarovar for our Amrit Sanchars, which happened today?
Well, you gotta ask the people in charge why they don't do it today. And if you talk about Guru Sahib, correct me if I'm wrong, but Guru Sahib never crossed the Satluj River towards the north. Guru Gobind Singh never ever entered Doaba or Manja. Am I correct?
I believe so.
So not only did he pay no attention to the Sarovar and the jal of the Sarovar, he never even considered Amritsar worth visiting.
I guess, see, this is one of the points we actually need to discuss now. The historic role of Amritsar does not match with the current perception we have of Amritsar now. One thing which has happened since the 80s, since, you know, Blue Star occurred, there has been a question ongoing in the minds of the Sikh youth even today that, you know, Jarnail Singh and Co. died, you know, in Darbar Sahib that day, and they were accepted as being, I guess, the Panth de facto leadership. However, if you look at the past, the precedent does not seem to be really there, because you see Jassa Singh Ahluwalia and that Panthic leadership, they left Gurbakhsh Singh Shahid and I believe 30 others as a token resistance garrison to fight against the Afghans, the Purbiyas, and the Durrani forces, the Lahore forces, while the Panth made its way away. Now, they can't be accused of being cowards. If someone accused them of being cowards, we would have a riot on our hands. On the other hand, before that, we have Nawab Kapoor Singh and Co., you know, vacating the Darbar Sahib when they need to, only leaving a token presence behind to put up a fight, to, you know, die fighting and symbolically empower the Qaum, or, you know, buy enough time for the leadership to get away. So that's one aspect. The other aspect which has sort of come up now is that, you know, if it's a divine sight, then we have a lot of contradictions going on down there. Now, the first one I mentioned was, you know, obviously Guru Gobind Singh Ji not using that jal for the Amrit Sanchar ceremony. Then you mentioned the second one, Guru Sahib not even visiting Darbar Sahib. And I guess we have a lot of things to clear up. Now, the primary thing we have down here is, okay, so let's look at Darbar Sahib. Ratan Singh Pangu in the Shri Guru Panth Prakash implies that Harmandir, what is the golden complex today, the Harmandir, the golden structure, served as the constitutional house of the Sikhs. They went there, they had a dip in Amritsar Sarovar, and they listened to, you know, Gurbani and confirmed to their essence. That is, they sort of made out and understood why they were Sikhs, and then they went to Akal Takht, which served as their Senate. And down there in the Khalsa Senate, they debated political matters, territorial matters, and sovereign matters. Now, amazingly enough, the history of Darbar Sahib. Now, here's another point down here. When you have a sacred site like that, you really need to understand that sacred is defined a bit differently in Sikhi than it is in other religions.
Correct.
Now, Sardar Kapoor Singh would say that, the theopolitical status of Darbar Sahib is not as some conventional Vatican or sacred site. Rather, it's the centerpiece, a focal point of a new culture of mankind, which has the power to unite humanity and orient it towards, realizing that it has been imbued with the same intelligence as its maker, so it can make creation better. Man acting as a equal stakeholder next to God in the furtherance of creation. Obviously, if the gurus had wanted, they could have done many things, but the first thing is, if Darbar Sahib was supposed to be the same pilgrimage site as, say, the Ganges or, the Makkah, you know how the Pujari Wadi clique makes it out to be equal to these places, some sacred site, with all these magical, mystical powers. Why didn't the gurus? I mean, if you look at it historically, it said that Guru Amar Das envisioned such a site. Guru Ram Das prepared the foundations, and then, Guru Arjan Dev finally completed it, and Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji added the Akal Takht. Now, why did Guru Amar Das Ji never, ever look towards Kartarpur Sahib? Why did he never make Kartarpur into the Darbar Sahib?
Well, if we say that Darbar Sahib is the Mecca of the Sikhs, so if you hold that belief, then the question arises that Guru Sahib or Guru Nanak Sahib was born in Nankana Sahib. The Mecca should have been there, yeah.
Yes, obviously,
Or
somewhere is. Yep.
he passed away. Well, he ended his life at Kartarpur Sahib. The Mecca would have been there.
Obviously. Or, even at the Bain River, where it's claimed that he, went away for 3 days and entered the heavenly realms from there. Why wouldn't it be there? Why wouldn't the Makkah be there, the Sikh Makkah?
Well, a lot of questions, but no answer.
No answer. And I think we need to realize something down here is that the answer to all this can be found in Gurbani of the Guru Granth Sahib. And obviously, now, just before we get into the gist of it, let me clear up something. There is a very popular Shabad on Ang 625 of Guru Granth Sahib, which is Ram Das Rover Nate Sab Lathe Paap Kamate.
सबूतरे पाप कमाते हैं।
Yes, I mean, I guess from what I've seen on Search Gurbani, it's Lathe, but okay, so let's just accept Utre. Now, Gurbani has a specific structure. There is a structure, a poetic structure, and I guess a definitive structure as well, which provides the meaning of the certain verse or the Shabad we have in question. Now, this Shabad is by Guru Arjan. And as we discussed on one of the blog posts that are under Rahau, that there is a certain formula for reading Gurbani, which is either based on the Rahau Pankti or which is either based on the Pankti which is numbered. Now, this Shabad, obviously, the Pankti before it, the verse before it has a number. And where that number ends is where that particular verse ends. The next verse starts from Mil Sadhu Tur Mat Khoy and then goes down to another verse which is numbered. In between is this Ram Das Rover Nate Shabad. Now that Shabad runs, Mil Sadhu Tur Mat Khoy, Patit Punit Sab Hoy, Ram Das Rover Nate Sab Utre Paap Kamate. Now, if we take Ram Das Rover Nate, like the Pujari factions do, we will have to accept that Ram Das Rover Nate, that if we go to Amritsar and have a wash in it, our sins will be washed away. Now, the question that begs is that, before that Sarovar was excavated, how did Sikhs get their sins washed away then?
You're using common sense, man. That's not allowed.
Yep, that's not allowed. Now, the full meaning of that verse, we need to understand that, if we are accusing others of cherry picking Gurbani, like we accuse Muslims of cherry picking Gurbani, Christians, Hindus, etc., etc., we are no less ourselves. The thing is, they fool us, and here we fool ourselves. So when we look at the Shabad from the top, what it means is Mil sadhu tor mat koi. In the company of the wise ones, our vices are effaced. You know, our transgressions are turmat, which is our base mentality. If we enter the company, the sangat of the wiser ones, of the gyanis, of the awakened ones, our sins, our mentality, our sinful mentality is effaced. Patit punit sab hoy, the outcasts are readmitted into the fraternity of the good. Ram Das Rovar Nate, bath in such a pool of divine servitude. Sab utre paap kamate, all our sins or all our transgressions will be washed off. See, so the real Ram Das Rovar is not the Ram Das Rovar which we have made it out to be by misinterpreting Gurbani. Rather, the real Ram Das Rovar is where you meet Gyanis, self-enlightened beings. That is the real Ram Das Rovar. Now, Mil sadhu tor mat koi, most people will take that as meaning, you know, you need to bathe in the dust of their feet. And I've seen many people, when Panch Pyares come along, people will actually wash their feet and drink the water. I've seen it happen, and I'm sure you've seen it happen as well.
Not just seen it happen. I've seen this belief being spread by people who were born and brought up overseas, who are, you know, so-called Sikhs, and they say that back in the days before the Khalsa initiation, the only way to convert to Sikhi was to drink the water off the feet of our guru.
And it has also seen many women who actually drink the water from these babes washed kacheres as well. That's, I mean, I'll say it up front.
On, man, please.
Okay, besides those fetishes as well, the thing is, when we talk about sitting in someone's feet in Gurbani, or, you know, dust off the feet, those are terms to endear humility, you know, initiate humility in our minds. It doesn't literally mean that you go and take their dust and put it in your hair.
Well, we have certain communities in India who do that. They love the dust, they love the ashes.
Now, we have cleared that one up, Ram Das Rovar Nate. What is the true Ram Das Rovar? Now, on the issue of the water, why we have that water in the first place. Now, see, today Sikhs and Hindus, they indulge in these competitions that my Sarovar is better than your Sarovar, blah, 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 blah. Now, Guru Amar Das did not desire to make a conventional pilgrimage site. Kartarpur, Nankana, all these had been taken by Shri Chand upon Guru Nanak's death. Now, as controversial as this might sound, there is evidentially some sort of a link here between the fact that, you know, Shri Chand was opposed to the Guru's Gurbani says it, and it's more than possible that, you know, even their histories, Pujari histories, confirm as much. Now, Kavi Santokh Singh in the Suraj Prakash, he writes this in Ras 4th, Adhyay 28. Those who are familiar with the book, they will, with this grant, they will know what the, you know, references mean. So we have given a reference so they can double check this. Now, he writes the story, which, you know, from one particular perspective, if you were to deconstruct it, it sort of shows that there was some conflict going on between Shri Chand and the gurus. And to hide Shri Chand's role in this entire conflict, these, you know, fancy stories were built up to sort of claim that he had some powers, or that in a way the gurus accepted what he did, so we should accept him as well. Now, I will read out a short summary of the story, if you will. Now, what's happening is that, you know, we are saying that there was some issue at Kartarpur, some issue at Nankana Sahib. The gurus did not desire a conventional pilgrimage site. The fact they had conflict with Shri Chand wasn't the foremost issue. The fact was that he had transformed these into conventional pilgrimage sites. He had spread all these myths about Baba Nanak being some, you know, I guess some miraculous yogi, tantric, and that sort of stuff. So they desired that, you know, if they went down there and restarted everything from scratch, that image which had been created in people's mind, that wouldn't go away easily. I mean, it would be a losing battle fighting that to change people's perception. They were already trying to change people's, you know, rotten, atrophied perception of centuries past, and now they would be, you know, confronting their own Sikhs whose perception would have, you know, started to rot as well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I think you're on the right path here.
So what happens is, you know, is narrated in the Prakash. the guru's servant and Kamalia, Shri Chand's servant, they both meet each other and there is a bit of a heated argument. And Kamalia feels very insulted, and they, go back to Kartarpur. And what happens is that, Kamalia is standing there in front of Shri Chand. He's very angry, very hot-headed, and Shri Chand asks him what happened. And Kamalia turns around and says, "Well, Maharaj, when I went to Guru Arjan Dev to give him your bhajan, the guru showed no signs of excitement or happiness. He just sat facing away from me and told me to go into the langar and eat something." So the tone is very, the tone down here is that Guru Arjan insulted Kamalia. Now, Kamalia continues that when I went into Langar, Mata Ganga was serving food and the Sikhs were eating. There was a crowd of people that came to eat and only Mata Ganga was there serving them. And I asked her for food once or twice and she looked at me and said, "You have come like a Turk from the way you're standing for food." Now, I don't understand, what the correlation here is between, standing and asking for food and being a Turk. However, whatever some folks think new, we will just accept that. And then Kamalia continues, after speaking to me like this, she gave the food. I ate and went outside. Guru Arjan brought the offering and sent me off with one of his Sikhs. Now, here's something else. After hearing this, Shri Chand, the one who had no fear, exclaimed in an angry tone, "If they are hungry for the Turks and in their right mind utter such unpleasant words, then Turks will come raid their homes. Their enemies will falsely accuse them. What's the consequences of their arrival? The Turks will make them suffer." And now here's the main one. "Es due sarp gur kar ko hai hanere parhar ko." Just like that, the guru's home was cursed. Who can stop what is meant to happen? Shri Chand then accepted and countered the offerings given by the guru. So you see the hypocrisy here?
Well, what can I say, man? These old stories that Shri Chand had the power to curse the house of Nanak.
So once again, the fact is Mata Ganga would not have been alone in the langar. There would have been sevadars as well. The second thing now, above all, is that he curses them and then he takes their money as well, their offering.
Hold on, please.
Yep.
So, through this text, you are telling me that everything that the Sikhs suffered from this day on, when this incident happened, is entirely the fault of Mata Gangaji?
Yes, now listen ahead, listen ahead, listen ahead. So, what happens is that he counts the offerings and then he looks at some beautiful horses and becomes happy, Shri Chand, and says the guru's house will have many stable horses and many soldiers. And then it says, in this way, he even gave a blessing. He kept the guru Sikh and eventually sent him off. The Sikh went back and reported all this to Guru Arjan Dev. And Guru Arjan Dev, looked around and said to Mata Ganga, "Do you know why we have received this curse? It came from the son of Guru Nanak. It cannot go away. It will come true. He is a holy saint and celibate. How can his words ever be false?" Mata Ganga tells her whole story, says, "I got anxious from seeing the large crowd. I suffer from anxiety. Shri Chand's servant was standing there asking for food. I said, 'You are standing like a Turk,' and Guruji understood what the curse was, how it was given. Blah blah blah. Mukti kal jaake." At the end, the guru says that, "I don't care what happens," and this is it. Now, several things which emerge here. The first one is obviously Santokh Singh and the writers at that time knew Shri Chand's dubious role. They knew what he was doing. They knew he was against Baba Nanak, so they couldn't erase that from Gurbani, where Gurbani says that Baba Nanak's own sons didn't listen to him, and Shri Chand went against his father by throwing ashes into his hair and, putting rings into his ears and getting a begging bowl and going from house to house begging and living like a recluse. So it was decided that a story had to be somehow made which covered up that conflict. However, now the second thing down here is that, when Guru Arjan Dev accepts the curse, they knew that, they couldn't say that Shri Chand outright cursed the guru and that's why the guru suffered. There would have been Sikhs with enough pride to give them a chitar at the time. So all these convoluted false fictional stories were, designed and made up to somehow claim that, everything which happened subsequently was due to a curse and a blessing. But the reality is that this shows that there must have been some conflict going on between Shri Chand and the gurus, and this would also have been an ideological conflict. That's why when Guru Angad left Kartarpur, he never went back because he knew Shri Chand had transformed it into something which Guru Nanak had opposed all his life.
Okay. Do we have any examples of any guru ever going back to Kartarpur?
I believe Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji actually went back. But then another thing you need to remember is that regarding Shri Chand, pretty much the Shri Chand issue down there, we need to remember again is this, that the gurus never spotted him. All these stories which we have come later.
Well, there's absolutely no reason to support him.
But
Why?
these stories cannot hide the truth, and the truth was that there was some ideological conflict going on between the gurus and Shri Chand at the time. The gurus were sticking to Gurbani, Shri Chand wasn't sticking to Gurbani, and that was the main thrust of the conflict. And Santokh Singh confirms as much, even though he's made up quite an ugly tale about it. Now, of course, people will tell us, oh, you need a certain mentality to interact with these pre-colonial texts, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, we are not going to accept that, the guru would have turned around and said, look, Mata Ganga, because of you, my house is cursed, like this text implies.
Well, since you made the point that they had to concoct a story, they couldn't outright to lay out the conflict that they had, the differences with they had the Shri Chand. So it's entirely now blamed on a woman of the Sikh household, Mata
What a
Ganga.
woman. And look how it's underlined that he is a celibate. Shri Chand has never married, and that's why he is pure. So all that, this was just the ideological attack. Now, the second attack which war had occurred was that, Darbar Sahib was made into a conventional site of pilgrimage. We know that by Mani Singh, Baba Deep Singh, and countless others spent most of their lives going to and fro from Darbar Sahib, like Guru Tegh Bahadur, clearing it out of Brahmanical influences, and after they died, all these influences came back. Jassa Singh Ahluwalia, if I remember correctly, actually expelled Gopal Das Udasi from Harbandar Sahib as head granthi because there were so many complaints lodged against him, and then he installed Chanchal Singh as the head granthi. After Chanchal Singh, we know that certain factions took over the Darbar Sahib, which left no stone unturned into making it Hari Mandir rather than Har Mandir. So you understand the difference. Hari Mandir is the temple of Vishnu. Now, regarding Har Mandir, now most people will say Guru Arjan actually witnessed, Bhagwan Vishnu come onto the earth, and he saw him serving down there. And Bhagwan Vishnu said to another Devi Devta that this is just my mandir, my Hari mandir. Guru Arjan is a form of mine, and that's where the name Hari mandir came from. Now, it's pretty shameful that the Sikh preachers we have today also promote this myth.
It's not just that. The story goes that Vishnu himself carried, well, he himself participated in the construction work of the Sarovar in the Gurdwara in a
Now,
human form.
Guru Arjan builds Harmandir Sahib. Guru Arjan built Harmandir Sahib. And, even before Guru Arjan was born, Guru Amar Das was writing his Bani, composing his Gurbani. And Ang 1346 of the Guru Granth Sahib. Now, there is a massive Latija Shabad down there. There is a whole composition down there by Guru Amar Das, which focuses on Harmandir, not Hari Mandir, Harmandir. Now, I will read that out. I'll read out a few lines only, a few sequential lines, and these provide a gist of what Harmandir is. Right. So, you're ready to bust some more myths about what Harmandir is? Okay, then here we go. Gur Prasadi Vekh Tho Harmandir Thare Naal. हरमंदर शब्द खोजे हर नाम लेह उसमाए मन मेरे शब्द रूप रंग होए सच भगत सच हरमंदर प्रगटी सच सोए रहाओ हरमंदर एहो शरीर है ज्ञान रतन प्रगट होए मनमुख मूल न जाने मानस हरमंदर ना होए। ओके सो दर हाउ वाली पंक्ति सची भगत सच हरमंदर प्रगटी सच सोए रहाओ नाउ इफ वी टेक द रहाओ पंक्ति द जिस्ट ऑफ इट व्हाट दिस वन लाइन सेज इज I have discovered this true Harmandir within me by discovering what real spirituality is. So what the guru is saying is that I've discovered real spirituality, real pagat, which is not the pagat of, meditating or, dogmatic ritualism, nothing like that. Real pagat, as in, consolidating gyan, accumulating gyan, and then using it to change your own life. Taking this one line, we go back to the first pankti. And so here is what the meaning is. Through the grace of the truth, we see the truth we interact with, that's the truth we need to accept. Once we accept that truth, we will realize that Harmandir is within us. So what Harmandir here means is it's not Hari, it's Har. Har meaning everyone's, Mandir meaning temple. So everyone's temple is within them, right? So through the grace of the truth, you will realize Harmandir is within you. By contemplating the Guru's word, you will realize true wisdom and find this Harmandir, the real temple within. So the way that we interact with ourselves is through dialogue, internal dialogue. And this takes the form of words. So, even when we talk to ourselves, the fact we're understanding what is going on is conveyed to us through words. So by when we internalize the truth, we are contemplating the Guru's word. So you will realize true wisdom only then and find this Harmandir, the real temple within you. Now my mind is ensconced within the influence of the Guru's word. So when the truth is actually inside you, you realize what the true Harmandir is. I have discovered this true Harmandir within me by discovering real spirituality. In truth, Harmandir is this human body when it unlocks the priceless jewels within itself. When Baba Nanak says, Matavacharatan Javahar Manak, Je Ek Gur Ki Sekh Suni. When that process is actually done, when those, Matavacharatan Javahar Manik, they come out, that's when you physically become Harmandir. Pai Prapatamanoka Deoriya, Gomandamlan Ki Teri Pariya, your body has been given to you to achieve something. Once you realize this, once you start on the path of Gurmat, your body becomes the Harmandir. Manmukh mool na jane, manas Harmandir na hoy. The egotist does not accept that a human can become the true temple of divinity. And what this lot do, they only read that last part, manas Harmandir na hoy, and just leave it down there.
Beautifully explained. Okay.
Yep. Now, the reality
You were telling me that the word Harmandir is Harmandir, not Harimandir. Harmandir is being used even before the Gurdwara is being built.
Even before Harmandir Sahib is built, it's being used by Guru Amar Das. Now, why Guru Arjan decided to name that structure Harmandir? The reason was this, that here is a central location for the Sikhs together. Now, remember, the Gurus knew what the Khalsa was. They were aiming to, establish the foundations for the Khalsa, which would, eventually come about at Guru Gobind Singh's hands. The Khalsa needed a central location, and this central location was made in Amritsar. And the central location, the constitutional house of the Khalsa, was made the Harmandir. Now, why it was made Harmandir? From that Harmandir, the Gyan would come out. Now, just imagine this. If this verse was read in Harmandir Sahib every day today, and people told how to become Harmandirs, do you really think we would be in the circumstances as a calm we are in today?
No, well, I don't think so, no.
Now, what's happened is that every time Harmandir Sahib has been hijacked, every time Darbar Sahib has been taken over by anti-Sikhs, the first thing which has always been done is that Sarovar. Now, the Sarovar Guru Ram Das
was actually intended
to be a central water source for the whole of Amritsar. The Gurus envisioned it as quite a metropolis at the time. And that,
Do you remember a long time ago in our first few podcasts, we were actually talking about these things, and there was a mention of statecraft.
Yes.
So Guru Sahib is not just building a place for the Sikhs to congregate or to get together and maybe not have a discourse, have discussions and everything.
Yep.
Laying the foundation of a city is a form of statecraft for the Gurus. And this is a separate discussion of what they envisioned while establishing new cities.
Exactly. Now, whenever anti-Sikh forces came and overtook Harmandir Sahib, what they did was they altered this water resource concept the Gurus had. So it was made into a sarovar. And there was a period when only higher castes could bath in that sarovar. Whenever the Sikhs took it back, all the Sikhs, despite whatever their caste was, because Sikhi doesn't believe in caste, they would rush into Harmandir and, jump into the sarovar as a sign of their rejection of Brahmanical tenets. Another thing down here, which unfortunately has started, is that, if the Panth, if the Akalis, if someone, if they had to slay someone, what was the best thing to do if you wanted to slay someone in Amritsar? Now, Zakaria Khan had the entire Harmandir Sahib, entire Darbar Sahib complex cordoned off. One thing we need to remember was that back during that time, three sides of the Darbar Sahib were surrounded by forest. One side actually had a main thoroughfare running to it. The fourth side, the frontal side, that was where the Mughals had based their, garrison, so Sikhs couldn't come in. This garrison had snipers. If the Sikhs ever came on a mission to slay someone, what would happen is that, the cavalry would rush in straight towards the Darbar Sahib Sarovar. The aim was that they would rush into the Sarovar and from there jump out on the other side and run into the forests and distract the snipers away from the city in which the Sikhs were carrying out their assassinations or whatever mission they had. So it was a distracting technique, which suddenly, was misinterpreted as being that they only come for a dip in the Sarovar. Now, owing to this misconception, Massa Arangar actually had that entire Sarovar filled with alcohol. Right? Sarovar was filled with alcohol. The Harmandir itself was made into a den of, prostitution, and the Akal Takht was sealed off. It was destroyed. Even then, one thing they weren't able to understand, what Zakaria wasn't able to understand, is how are Sikhs becoming Sikhs? Because what he failed to appreciate was that the Harmandir Sahib as a physical structure wasn't important. It was the ideological concepts which were read out from the Harmandir Sahib and which were emphasized every Sikh follows from the Guru Granth Sahib, which was making the Sikhs into Harmandirs. You had the physical Harmandir crushed. You destroyed the Sikh Harmandirs, the physical Sikh Harmandirs, the living Sikh Harmandirs. Many more rose up. It wasn't the Sarovar which gave them the power. It was the words of Guru Nanak which gave them their power. And obviously, there is this. I know that there is. I can't really remember that she, the Sikh's name. He used to swim over and light a lamp within Darbar Sahib every night. And the Mughals' attention was distracted enough for them that the Sikhs were actually able to, circumvent them and go do their other missions, whatever they were. However, he was killed, and that was the end of that. So these things which we have today that we need to light a jyot or we need to jump into the sarovar and have a bath, all these back then had some practical purpose which we failed to understand. And what we are doing is we're only focusing on the dogmatic ritual itself. I mean, there was a challenge given by a commander that if a Sikh can come and have a dip in the Harmandir, I would, there was some challenge he gave that I'd kill myself or something. Sukha Singh took it up and, rode his horse into the Darbar Sahib and he watered his horse from the Sarovar. Do you really think we will be allowed to water our horse from the Sarovar today?
Well, the horse got to be a descendant of Guru Sahib's Nilakoda.
That's the thing. He watered his horse there. Sikhs used to water their horse there. And, the Sarovar used to be used for irrigation and quite a lot of stuff used to happen from the central water source. However, we seem to have misinterpreted all of this that, the Sikhs rode into Harmandir Sahib, jumped into the Sarovar and became superhuman straight away. I mean, when Sukha Singh and Mahtab Singh came to slay Massa Arangar, they never had a jump into the Sarovar, never had a dip into that Sarovar.
Yep, they arrived, disguised themselves as, tax paying jagirdars, I think.
Yes.
And then they quickly did the deed, chopped his head off, and then, disappeared into the forest.
Disappeared into the forest. So here is the concept of Harmandir Sahib, of Darbar Sahib, which we have is that, there is the constitutional house, and then there is obviously the, Akal Takht, which acts as the Panthic Senate. These are the two concepts we have. It's a symbol of Sikh, I guess, spirituality, which is rooted in the world of the true Bhakti, which Guru Amar Das mentions. And the fact is that Harmandir Sahib was intended to make us all into Harmandirs ourselves, as Guru Amar Das intended.
It seems to, this version or this view seems to be justified.
This view seems to be justified. Now, one thing down here is that Gurbani also has another Shabad. Now, you know what happens is that if someone from that particular side does something, a Bajar Kreat or whatever, usually it's claimed that they made a mistake, even though if they did it intentionally, and it's said that Kaljugi Phera ho gaya. You know, that Kaliyug tempted them or whatever, you know, like the devil tempted Jesus. And then, you know, guys like us get accused of having, you know, post-colonial Calvinistic views on Sikhi, whereas they are no less than us. Whatever they want to say about us, they can keep on saying. And then, you know, Panj Pyares are called, Amrit is administered again, and then they read out the Shabad Ram Das Rovanate, and they book the guy a ticket to India, so he goes down there and bathes in the Ram Das Rover and, you know, comes back and he's all forgiven, even though Gurbani says that no matter whatever the site, no matter how divine the site, you can go down there and bath till your skin is, you know, peeled off. But even then, your internal transgressions will not go away unless you make yourself better. Now, Sinovjit, when we talk about going to a Tirthasthana, a pilgrimage site, and having your sins forgiven by having a bath, we are actually going against Gurbani, which says, you know, Vaheguru, the creator, the maker, is not impressed by these shows. You know, when a teacher tells a student that, okay, you can be forgiven if you do detention, blah, 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 the, you know, the student does it because he believes he can somehow earn the teacher's forgiveness. He can exert that amount of control to acquire that forgiveness. Would you agree with that assessment?
Can you word it differently?
So, okay, I do something to you, and you tell me that your forgiveness will be on a condition that I do something for you, and then you will forgive me. Now, I need your forgiveness, so I decide that I'll do what you are telling me to do, so I can exert that amount of control, that subtle control over you, so you can forgive me.
Agree.
Agree. Now, that's the same relationship we try entering into God with if you're saying we are going to go on a pilgrimage site and, you know, clean ourselves of our sins. Now, what Gurbani says on Ang 962, Natuave vas, how can we bring you under our control, convince you to do anything just by buffing at an alleged sacred site? That's what Gurbani is asking.
Here's another point.
Yes.
Is there any quote unquote sin that cannot be washed away?
You make a very critical point. It seems there is no sin. Everything can be washed away under the pretense of Kaljugi.
Okay, can murder be washed away?
Yes, chances are yes.
Can rape be washed away?
We have seen all this happen in the past 10, 20 years, haven't we?
Well, sadly, yes. So imagine if we had a Sikh theocracy today. Let's say we had Ranjit Singh's empire, let's say, stayed there and transformed into a Sikh theocracy. Let's say
Yep.
there would be no law and order.
There wouldn't be.
So I could just murder my enemy and just say, I'll seek forgiveness, I will just take a bath, and that's it. Clean slate.
That's it, clean slate. That's the thing. Now, the fact down here is that Gurbani Shabad says, Natuave vas tirathnate. You know, that doesn't mean that that Shabad is written to be critical of someone else. You know, our people will say that, you know, it's only written for the Hindus or the Muslims, blah, blah, blah. It's also written for us as well. Guru Nanak never expected us to do what they are doing. We suffer under this delusion that just because they're doing it, they are wrong. But if we do the same thing, we are not doing it wrong.
Well, there is something called, it's from a movie. Well, I shouldn't use it, but it's way too funny not to be used. It says, "Thada kuta kuta, thoda kuta tobi," or the other way around, because you know we are not following our own advice or by ourselves. It's thada kuta kuta, thada kuta tobi.
Yes, now regarding this introspection, One thing we need to remember as well is that Gurbani speaks out against pilgrimage sites quite a lot. I mean, there is a Shabad of Bhakt Kabir. Now, the anti-meat gang, they say that if you eat meat, you're going to a pilgrimage site is all destroyed, right? So Bhakt Kabir has a Shabad. The first lines of the Shabad are always misinterpreted, but if you read that entire Shabad, and we'll read it one day in the upcoming episodes. Anyhow, what Bhakt Kabir is saying that, you have bhang, you have machli, you have meat, you have alcohol. Pujari says, yep, we do. And then Bhakt Kabir says, you have a pilgrimage site. Yep, we sure do. So, Bhakt Kabir is saying, so what is a pilgrimage site? And they tell him it's a very sacred site. It is life challenging or life changing, blah, blah, blah. And it's very challenging to get there. You need good karma in your past life. And Bhakt Kabir is asking, okay, then so people who go down there and they say, yep. Why is it that those people go down there, come back, and you tell them not to take these things, or their dharma will be destroyed? Why aren't those sites powerful enough to prevent them from, doing all these things? And if they aren't, then isn't, all these intoxicants, meat, machi, shrab, aren't they more powerful than your pilgrimage site?
You are really, really trying to get me shot here, yeah?
It's just a Bhakt. Let's just discuss it in the context of what Bhakt Kabir is saying. Now, how many times do we see that people who go to Amritsar take, just pay obeisance, walk around, see all these gurdwaras, they come back and have a peg in the evening because they're tired? You have seen it, haven't you? I've seen it. I'll admit that as well.
I'll admit to as well, that's true.
That's true. Now, history of the Darbar Sahib in the past, 100 years, okay. Dwyer went down there after Jallianwala Bagh and did the Matha Tek and everything down there. Did it actually change Dwyer? Did it really change his opinion of things? When Arur Singh said he was going to give him Amrit, Dwyer said that he would never grow long hair or stop smoking. And Arur Singh said, that's all good with me, you can take alcohol as well. There was never any mystical power exerted over him. And the reality is that Harmandir, the physical Harmandir, houses the Gurbani, the truth. It was supposed to be that physical place where the Khalsa showed the world how to live from Darbar Sahib. That's why we call it Darbar, the court of the Khalsa. This is how we live. This is how you should live in conformation to reality. But what we have made it into is an entrepreneurial competition that if they have miracles, we have miracles as well. Come to our miracle. They can't prove it. The other sides can't prove it. We can't prove anything as well. And there it is, Golden Temple, a good tourist site.
Unfortunately, that's true. If you go there today, you will see a lot of people who are from outside Punjab and not from the Sikh or Punjabi culture. They'll just see as a tourist place.
As a tourist place. Now, Nawab Kapoor Singh utilized it for political purposes. After him, everyone did that pretty much. So now, today, if you talk about politics, it's said that, Harmandir Sahib or Darbar Sahib represents Miri Piri, and there is a difference between both. Reality is that there is an intermingling of both down there as well. The Guru Granth provides the constitutional essence of Sikhi, the ideological essence of Sikhi. That same Sikhi, that same essence, when that makes us into Harmandirs, those Harmandirs congregated Akal Takht and planned to rule the world, how to rule the world effectively, That's what the purpose of their Darbar Sahib is. That's what makes it sacred down there. That's what makes it sacred for us. But when we talk about pilgrimage sites, then Baba Nanak dismisses that as well.
He does.
How many, like when Babur came into India, how many pilgrimage sites were destroyed?
Well, I'm not too sure. There must be, let's say, a large number, a very large number.
Somnath Mandir was destroyed. No one manifested to save it. Makkah was destroyed by the Byzantines. No one manifested to save it. I mean, Cortes just marched through, Tenochtitlan and destroyed most of their, sacred pilgrimage sites. Nothing prevented him. There is this recurring pattern that nothing prevents these sites from being destroyed. And that's when people who attach, these superficial, dogmatic emotions with these sites, that, our pilgrimage site is the only true one, That's when they have to rewrite history, or that's when their faith is broken.
And they have to attach miracles and supernatural things to it to provide justification and legitimacy.
Now, in Saudi Arabia, you can't read about the Mecca being destroyed by the Byzantines, or the fact that the original stone was taken away and they gave back a false stone. That's actually what is believed today.
Well,
You can't read about it.
get shot and get beheaded.
Yep, and we see the same thing down here. So when Guru Nanak, when Baba Nanak established Sikhi, and as a continuation, Guru Amar Das established, the blueprints for Harmandir Sahib, for Darbar Sahib, and then, Guru Arjan initiated the, instructed Guru Har Gobind to initiate the construction of the Akal Takht. They fully well knew that this site would be demolished in the future. Now, of course, Ahmad Shah Batlavi and Gyani Gyan Singh wrote that Gap Kahani that Mia Mir laid the foundation stone and it was laid wrong, and Guru Arjan said, correct it, and Darbar Sahib will be destroyed and rebuilt because of you, Mia Mir. Reality is, they knew what was going to happen to Darbar Sahib. They knew it would be destroyed, but they also knew that the Sikhs would rebuild it as a symbol of their defiance to, conventional religiosity, to conventional politics, to the conventional world. They knew that. But they never promised any miracles that Darbar Sahib will never be destroyed. It was destroyed, Sikhs rebuilt it. It was destroyed, Sikhs rebuilt it. No one ever said to the Sikhs that, if your faith is so divine, why can't you prevent it from being destroyed through miracles? Because the Sikhs themselves did not believe in this stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the current building that stands today was built in 1768, if I'm correct.
The Darbar Sahib?
Yep, the current building that stands today.
It's actually been the foundations are pretty much the same, but the buildings have been made bigger and bigger and bigger as per Sangat requirements. Now, the fact is, this is Darbar Sahib. It has a practical purpose. We have established that, right? That Sarovar had a practical purpose as well. I mean, look, the Sarovar has filters installed into it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there was a controversy a while back that, there is a particular preacher who's saying that when you read Bani over water, it doesn't become Amrit. Now, the thing is, fine, then let's accept that. Then, on the other hand, we need to ask ourselves that Harmandir Sahib, why do we have filters installed in the Sarovar then?
Well, you'll also have to help hold some people responsible that why didn't you stop these filters being installed if you believe that, the water is indeed Amrit.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Now, all these questions, we have a short composition in, Guru Granth Sahib from Pant Ramanand. Now, is this the Ramanand who was the apostle of Ramajunand? No one knows. I don't believe it would be the same Ramanand as the, Ramanand of, Vaishnav fame. I believe this might be a different Ramanand. And Guru Maharaj only located a few verses of his, and these verses are in Gurbani today. Whatever happened to him, we do not know, but his fate would have been no different to that of Kabir, Ravidas, or Guru Arjun, or Guru Gobind Singh. So this is what he writes: "Kath jayo re kar lago rang mera chetna chale man payo pang." And this last line, "mera chetna chale man payo pang," is our hao pangti. So what this means, "mera chetna chale man payo pang," is my mind cannot comprehend anything anymore. It's become crippled. And why has it become crippled? We go up to the first verse, "Kat jayo re kar lago rang," where do I roam? My home is filled with all. Okay, so we have established that. So what he's saying is, by what this Ramanand is saying is that, look, my mind has become crippled. I can't comprehend things anymore. This realization has dawned on me that why should I be roaming outside when everything is inside me? Everything is inside me. I only need to acknowledge these things, these Matavicharatan Javahar Manik, all these Maniks within me, and they will become, ready for use. Not like I sit there meditating away and then, I get these jewels and I start using them. Nothing like that. I just need to acknowledge their existence. Kath jayo re kar lago rang mera chetna chale man payo pang. Ek divas man payo mang. Kas chandan chua pao sugand. Pujan chale brahm thai so brahm betyo gar man hi mahi. जी जाए थे जल पखान तो पर रहे हो है सब समान वेद प्राण सब देखे जाए हुआ तो जाए जो इहा ना होए सतगुर में बलहारी थोर जिन सकल बिकल परम काटी मोर रामानंद स्वामी रामत ब्रह्म गुर का शब्द काटे कोट करम. Now what this really means line by line, What he's saying is that one day my mind expressed the desire to go on a pilgrimage. And what I did was I perfumed myself, I cleaned myself, and I, prepared to please some deity, whichever one he believed in. And I went to the deity's particular site and started performing my rituals. And then his real maker, the real, I guess entity worthy of worship is how I'd put it. Then my real maker uncovered the guru within me. So for Ramananda, the guru within was spontaneity, something which happened when you internalize the truth, you get a spontaneous answer or thought. That was what he believed to be his guru. It was Guru Nanak who finally, revealed that Gyan is the guru. And this guru asked, what is there besides stone and water at these alleged divine sites? So here's Ramananda standing there with, who knows, maybe a plate or a bowl with, lamps in his hand, and he's spinning them around and, knocking his conch bells and, singing and doing whatever he's doing. And suddenly in his mind, there comes this thought that, what the hell am I doing? What am I doing down here? That I believe in this particular God. There is another faith, someone from another faith who maybe lives, in the same city, same town, or even next to me. They believe in a different God, but they do the same stuff as well. All these sites, all they seem to offer is holy water or holy rocks. What is the difference between them? And then dawned the realization, Toporeya has subsman, that, the maker is all pervasive. And then what Ramananda did was bear the Puran Sabdeke Jai. Then he went and read all the Vedas and Puranas and religious books, and he found nothing within them. Uvata Jai Jo Ihana Hoy, that I would only follow those books, those religions, if the truth was not within me. And then, Sadhguru Me Balhari thought, I'm a sacrifice to the true guru within me, who has removed all my doubts and misconceptions. And now Ramananda has realized who his true maker is and how to worship that maker. So that Shabad is found on Ang 1195 of Gurbani. And straight away, it questions everything about pilgrimages.
So this has been made abundantly clear that what is the view of Sikhi about pilgrimages and pilgrimage sites.
Pretty much. Now, when you have the Shabad being read out from Darbar Sahib, and there is someone doing katha and saying that Darbar Sahib is a pilgrimage site, wouldn't some rational person who understands the meaning of the Shabad be laughing at the hypocrisy?
He wouldn't dare to laugh, he would just walk away.
Gyani Dit Singh in his books actually wrote that one who does aarti is committing a great sin. And many people challenged him to a debate over this, and he debated with a lot of them, and he told them that, they would say Gaganmay Thalar of Chandradeepak Bani, and he would translate that Shabad, and they would just get up and run away, angry that, because really here we are doing aarti, and there it's saying Gaganmay Thalar of Chandradeepak Bani, that, the whole of nature is doing aarti. What is your little aarti going to do compared to that aarti? And then someone's going to get up and say, oh, well, it depends on what you can do for the guru. So what the guru is saying is live a particular way. You can't live that way, but you sure as hell can get a plate and light a few lamps in it and spin it around. Is that Sikhi?
Sorry, no.
So there you go. So the Darbar Sahib has a very practical purpose. The Akal Takht has been used as a senate. The Harmandir Sahib has been used as a constitutional house. And Ranjit Singh actually, I guess, after Akali Phula Singh penalized him to, I guess, from his hand, to decentralize the power of the Akal Takht. He nominated other entities as takhts. The Khalsa Panth was the foremost takht. Akal Takht was a concept. In the Akal Takht, the Panth met. As long as there was the Panth, there was the Akal Takht. Otherwise, it was only a building. This was clarified by the historical researches of Dr. Sangat Singh. Today, however, obviously, there is some sort of a placebo effect as well on people. People have faith they might get healed. But on the other hand, we have many people who go down there and they get skin infections. They get diseases from the water, all these things. And even today, in the time of Corona, it's been shut down. We have Amrit Sanchar, discontinued because we share the same butter. The thing is that if we start attaching all these, baseless stories with these concepts we have in our faith, we're only opening ourselves to attack.
Okay. I think we missed an important point here.
Yep.
You just said that what the water might cause, yeah?
Yes.
And we also gave the example of water filters being installed.
Yep.
Do you actually know that how come somebody dawned upon this idea that there is a need to filter the water?
No, I don't actually.
So they brought their, I think it was 5 or 7 year old American grandson.
Yep.
And he asked him to, let's say, "Sarovar mein ishnan kar lana, take a bath." And the
yep.
kid said, "I'm not going to take a bath. The water's dirty."
Well.
Yep. I'm saying this because I know the people who installed the filters. And I've heard this story from the very person who did all the seva.
So they so what? So they would have had the water tested?
No, not just tested. They actually brought in engineers from America, and all the filtration system was actually imported, shipped in from America.
I see.
So the question is, what was it that young kid could see and millions of Sikh couldn't see?
But then on the other hand, that young kid was proven right in the end, wasn't he?
Well, we discussed with Oldhunder, why didn't anybody stop the installation of the filters, that there's no need. Say, they told their grandson, take a bath, as we have done for centuries, as Sikhs have done for centuries. They could say, I'm not going to take a bath, the water's dirty. That's an American kid. He is used to cleanliness and everything, yeah?
Yep.
And of course, the men who asked him to take a bath did realize, well, indeed, the water is dirty. There is algae in there. Now there's all that green vegetation growing underwater. It's slippery. The water
yep.
needs to be cleaned. And that's how
yep.
they decided that we must now install water filters.
Amazing.
So, let's say, putting into a single sentence, a single observation of a 5 or 7 year old kid outweighed the sharda of millions.
One thing we need to remember down here is that by no means does this take away the sacredness of Darbar Sahib for the Khalsa Panth. The only thing which mitigates that sacredness is if we misinterpret it and use it for the wrong purposes.
Yep, misinterpretation and use for the wrong purposes, that's the issue. Yeah.
Now, okay, so looking at Ramanand's example, Kabir's example, you know, Ravi Das's example, all these Bhakt's examples, what used to happen during their times was that a mandir was built, a sacred site was rediscovered or whatever, because of these, you know, wrong sentiments, wrong emotions, you know, these false emotions, as Guru Nanak called them, attached with these sites. The priestly ruler combined used to hijack them. So even if the decision announced from these sites was antithetical to your, you know, ethics, your beliefs, your principles, you would still accept them blindly. And accepting these things blindly, what society didn't realize was that it was being made weaker and weaker and weaker until ultimately it was vanquished. Now, the pujaris of Kanchi played a very prominent role in deadening the hearts and minds of the, you know, denizens of the subcontinent. And when the Islamic rulers came across, in one way, religion was responsible for having, you know, the subcontinentals crushed at the heels of the foreigners. Now, if you look at Darbar Sahib, where it's being said, now we're not talking about today, we're talking about, you know, the history before Maharaja Ranjit Singh, where it's said that you need to become a Harmandir, everything is within you. You got the intelligence, you got the intuition, you need to do something with your life, you need to stand up for righteousness. And look at Darbar Sahib back then, you know, promoting this, you know, from its pulpits, from the Kal Takht, this is being shouted out by Nawab Kapoor Singh, project katia on the out, armies are being gathered, plans are being made, administrations are created, bureaucracies are created, policies are being debated and discussed. Compare that with all these other religious sites, and you will see why Darbar Sahib, why the Sikhs were so proactive back then and dynamic, because their very central location emphasized that they do something with themselves. See, Darbar Sahib wasn't a site which kept on saying, come back to me, come back to me, attach yourselves to me. It was actually giving out this gyan that you're independent, so why don't you live independently?
So this
Why
was
do
the source of the power that the Mughals and all the enemies of the Sikh manufacturers destroy. It wasn't a physical thing. It wasn't a building. It wasn't the water.
It wasn't the water at all. When Massa Rangar had, Massa Rangar, this is what happened with Massa Rangar. Massa Rangar and Zakaria had this talk, and Zakaria told them that, look, that Amrit Sarovar needs to go. Massa threw alcohol into it. That Harmandir needs to go. He had, prostitutes brought in. He used to rape girls in there. Dera Akal Takht needs to go. The building was destroyed, and whatever was left was sealed off. And even then, he had his head cut off. And here's the fact: when they cut his head off, it wasn't that Darbar Sahib was, suddenly, instantly restored to them. The Sikhs had to wage war for several more years before the Darbar Sahib came back to them.
True.
That Harmandir makes us into Harmandir. That's the purpose behind that Harmandir, that it should make us into Harmandirs, which sadly it doesn't do today.
You have to remember that the Jathedars of at that time, Commander Sahib, who were in charge, they were fighters, given the example of Akali Phula Singh.
Akali Phula Singh, even others, they were ready to die but not concede on the principle. Now, there would have been many Sikhs back then who would never have been able to go to Ram Das Sarovar. As they say today, that that's Ram Das Sarovar by misinterpreting Gurbani. Many Sikhs would have died without going to Harmandir Sahib. I mean, we don't have any record of the Sahib Jadis going to Darbar Sahib.
No.
We have none of these records of several leading Sikh figures in the post Guru Era going to Darbar Sahib.
Did Baba Banda Singh Bahadur, or the correct name Gurbakhsh Singh, did he went to the Warsaw?
Don't believe he did.
No, there's no record. He never did.
So what would you say? Those people weren't Harmandirs?
Well, you have to remember that Baba Banda Singh was sent by Guru Gobind Singh himself.
And that's the thing down here. The thing is that that location was intended as a foremost site for the Panth Khalsa, but its role was very different to what it has been made out to be today. Now, have you heard that story, how they found the Sarovar?
You mean the white crows and the black crows, or was it black crows turning into white swans?
Yep, black crows turning into white crows. Now, doves, I think. Now, we discussed Guru Amar Das's Shabad regarding, Harmandir, what a Harmandir is. Now, here's another Shabad of Guru Amar Das, and this is found on Ang 1089 of Gurbani. Now, this is quite a very profound Shabad, I guess, in the context of what we are talking about. And people can, check this out themselves if they want to, because, we have Gurbani all over. So here it is, Lok Mahalla Tija. Kago hoy na ujle lohel nav napar. Piram padarat manle tan savaran har hukam pashane ujla sar kast loha par Krishna shor bhai vase nanak karni sar. What this means is that the crow does not become white and an iron boat does not float across. One who puts his faith in the treasure of his beloved maker, only they are blessed. They exalt and embellish others as well. One who realizes the perfectness of the hukam of his maker's command, their face is radiant and bright. They float like iron in a wooden boat. So the fact is, a particular crew will only, quote the first verse, Gago hoy na ujle lohe nav napar, and then they say that, our Babaji came and did the opposite. Really, what it means is that one who realizes the perfectness of Vaheguru's hukam, that from the start it's perfect and Vaheguru is not changing it because he knows that it's perfect, that person never puts his wood in a boat of iron. Rather, what they do is they put their iron in a boat of wood. because they've understood hukam, they've understood the laws of creation, so they live within them. So how then can we say that, you know, there was a Rajni and she had a leper husband who jumped into the pool and came out as a healed man?
Okay, imagine if such kind of pool existed before Sikhi.
Yep.
Now, wouldn't that already have been a Hindu pilgrimage site?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. They're saying that Lord Buddha visited it, blah, blah, you know, blah, 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 so and so visited, blah, 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 blah. But why wasn't it actually, you know, constructed first? Why was nothing constructed there ever before?
If the place was so powerful, it would have been, let's say, the Mecca of the Hindus. Please
Or
excuse
anyone
the
who
pun.
discovered it. And that's the thing, these things, when these questions start bothering you, then you realize that the truth is altogether something different.
It's altogether something different. So you were telling me that Amritsar, the area which was on the highway built by Sher Shah Suri.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
In that area, there was such a miraculous sorcerer, and nobody ever did anything about it.
Well, that's what the mythology is.
It's an ancient trade route. Let's remember that.
Yep.
So people have been traveling, traders, invaders, you know, travelers, everybody have been traveling this route for, I would say, more than 1,000 years, maybe 1,000 of years. Yet, this miracle place was not discovered by anybody. Nobody ever cared. Okay, where are all these white crows or white doves coming from? Nobody ever wondered. And why just crows?
I guess the person who made up that story, who made up that Sakhi, they would have been aware of the shabd by Guru Amar Das and they went contrary to it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was the point behind most of these tales, wasn't it? To portray something else other than Gurbani, to make Gurbani into the fifth Veda, to make it an object of reverence rather than an object of reverence and a guide to how to live properly.
Well, that gives you another topic for discussion.
Obviously, it does. Now, as to the future of the Darbar Sahib, now, if I had my way, I would restore the forests around it.
Are you a greenie?
Not exactly a tree hugger, but just let's just say for the sake of it, we restore the forests around it, and that Sarovar, I would make it a very centralized water resource. Very, very centralized. It would serve the Darbar Sahib, but it would also serve the rest of Amritsar. That's how the Gurus designed it, to be honest. It was a central
Okay.
pull of location. I mean, we have records saying that the Sikhs went down there and watered their horses. And today they're saying that you can't say that, you know, there are filters inside it.
Okay, one more thing.
Yes.
The city was founded by Guru Sahibs, yeah?
Yes.
But there was no population back then.
No.
There was just, let's say, it was an empty area, probably a forest or a bush like the Australian outback.
Yep.
That means that back in those years, the water table was very high.
Yes.
And even today, the Sarovar is like 10 feet lower than the average elevation of the city, maybe even
Yes.
more.
Yep.
So that means that's where the water table surfaced. So I think we have solved it.
Pretty much that, you know, that water was supposed to be a very centralized resource. I mean, it's not saying that the Sarovar was to be dried up eventually, but that Sarovar was to funnel water and, you know, recycle it and take it all over the place.
I'm not too sure what's the possibility of a spring being there or something, but there are a few artisan wells in the Gurdaspur area. Just when you just dig a hole in the ground and just water keeps coming out of it automatically.
I mean, the thing is that if Gurbani is saying something, the gurus would never have gone, you know, posited. And this is what Gurbani is saying. Natu ave vastirat nate. So why then would they build Sarovar specially for bathing?
As a water source, it makes sense. Because there are numerous examples of tanks being built all the way from Indus Valley civilization to the modern, let's say, pre-independence kingdoms.
Yep. And I mean, one of the main things which used to kill, especially the, peasants back then, was a lack of water. They couldn't get waters from the high castes, so the gurus down here universalized the system. And the fact is, we have refused to understand that vision. Now, if someone says, what would be the role of the Darbar Sahib in a future, Sikh territory or a Sikh sovereign state? Let's just talk theoretically down here. I don't believe that this conception, misconception of Darbar Sahib being a conventional pilgrimage site is going to leave the Sikhs anytime soon.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think this is the reality we have to face. That it's not going to change in a fortnight.
We need to take very small steps towards changing it, because we have Gurbani on our side. We're spotting the truth. We know because we have Gurbani on our side.
Yep, and all our views are justified by Gurbani. Not justified. In the light of Gurbani, we hold all those views.
So the best thing to do, in my opinion, this is my opinion, is to make it an educational center, the heart and soul of Sikh education, its original purpose, and from there allow it to build up. In the Darbar Sahib, we have Gurbani. In the Akal Takht, we can have political and historical discussions, have it as a, Panthic educational center of sorts. Because originally what used to happen was that, when the Darbar Sahib, whenever the Guru Granth Sahib was actually, read out in the Darbar Sahib, outside by the Akal Takht, by Mani Singh and whoever, even by Gurdas back during those days, if Baba Buddha read Gurbani in the Harmandir Sahib, outside by the Akal Takht, by Gurdas used to interpret it for the Sangat, do katha on it. And then at the Akal Takht, all the practicalities were discussed in a political light, as well as a personal light and a societal light, that how are we to implement these discourses of Baba Nanak, these injunctions of our gurus, our bhakts, in our society and in our political life. That's where all these discussions used to happen. Obviously, over time, as the Panth progressed, we started using the Akal Takht as a senate. Nothing wrong with that. But now, seeing that we are in a regressive state, it might be better that, the Katha from Harmandir Sahib be interpreted at the Akal Takht. That the Sikhs visiting there be taught the real purpose of, Darbar Sahib. The Sikhs down there be taught the real purpose of what Akal Takht is and what Sikhi is. Manji Sahib Hall was never built as a Katha center. Did you know that?
I didn't knew that. I thought they were wait, when was it built?
Well, I mean, from what I've read, the SGPC built it when they actually acquired control of the Darbar Sahib. The purpose behind Manji Sahib Hall was that, whenever the SGPC convened, any individual, any Sangat who had an issue to bring to the, to the attention of the entire Panth, they would bring it to SGPC delegates at Manji Sahib Hall. Because you need to understand that as the Panth grew, it was impossible for everyone to fit into the Akal Takht, wasn't it? So these issues, now they didn't have the missile structure, which was that, like Harmandir Singh Sandhu founded the Khalsa Panchayats. They didn't have those back in the day. So they had no fluid streamlined system to, always convey their views. So it was decided that, a majority of these views could be challenged and slash or presented at Manji Sahib Hall. And then, whenever the decision-making process was undertaken, an announcement would be done at Teja Singh Samundri Hall, where more debates and more delegations could take place, and the final announcement would be from the Akal Takht.
Okay.
And this sort of made it really easy to keep the process going, rather than everyone, just hoarding themselves into the Akal Takht. You have the delegates, you have, the Sangats, and you also have the pilgrimages, etc., because many things are supposed to be done in private. But then obviously after the 80s, Teja Singh Samundri Hall, I think, is rarely used nowadays. And Manji Sahib Hall has become just a, place of Katha. And obviously, we know that the Akal Takht, we are doing Matha Tek, and decisions are being made in offices. And Harmandir Sahib, well, we see it every day on TV. So there you go.
Yeah, well, Qatar and occasional fights.
Occasional fights, occasional fights, obviously.
Yep, once in a blue moon.
But they do happen.
Well, they do happen.
Because it seems a blue moon seems to be coming every other year. And that's the reality of Darbar Sahib. That's why the gurus intended it to be a central location of the Sikhs, but it was never supposed to be a conventional pilgrimage site. Okay, so imagine this. A cripple goes down there and he baths in the Sarovar and he doesn't get his limbs regrowing. And he's heard all these stories. And he asks someone why, no miracle happened with him, and they tell him his past karmas are bad. Let's just take it theoretically, okay?
Okay.
That's one. The guy lives the rest of his life thinking he's a zero. He will never achieve anything. And then on the other hand, if he goes down there and hears the Shabad of Guru Amar Das that, you can become a Harmandir, the Gyan is within you. It doesn't matter if you have one limb or two. And he does something with his life. He becomes an achiever. He becomes a trailblazer for other cripples. Which one is the best outcome, the first one or the second one?
Well, it depends on who I am. If let's say I have a stake in there that I want to get some money out of you, it's my source of income. So I would concoct a million stories. Come here, it's a miracle place, and now all your sins will be washed away. All your sorrows are going to be healed here.
Yep.
So. But if I'm a speaker who understands Gurbani and understand what the gurus want, then the answer is obvious.
The thing now. How do you become that Harmandir? And here's the that's the question I've just had. So how do you become that Harmandir which Guru Amar Das is talking there? And the answer is given by Gurbani again, Guru Granth Sahib. And their answer is this: Antar Tirath Gyan hai Satgur De Bujai. Within us is the true pilgrimage site. It is known as wisdom and has been revealed by the truth. And that's on Ang 587.
One more point.
Yes.
There is a Pingal Wadan Amritsar,
Yep.
not too far from Darbar Sahib.
Yes.
The existence of such a place is enough of an ev evidence.
Is. Now, if you look at Bhakt Pooran Singh, I would say that that man is a living embodiment of Harmandir. He's dead now, obviously, but when he was alive.
Agree.
Jaspatarai, Lakhpatarai, everyone who's ever attacked Darbar Sahib under whatever pretext, even if they've set up the Sikh leadership to go in there and start indulging in violence, whatever the pretext, whatever the excuse, they have all somehow realized that this place empowers them somehow. And the Pujari Wadi gang has realized it more than others that it's the ideology within the Harmandir. So why not change the ideology and leave the building intact? And they have accrued fruits from that strategy.
Well, it's a millennium-old story.
That's the thing. But there is hope, and there are many people beginning to question conventionalism today. It's a long road, it's a hard road, it's a nuclear minefield, but I'm sure eventually, maybe 20 years' time, 30, 40, 50, not even in our lifetimes, maybe, there will be a change.
There is a change, and if you know what you're looking for, you can observe it.
Obviously, you can observe it. This is as much as we could do. This is the true purpose of the Darbar Sahib. I would say that the Darbar Sahib is the original university of the Khalsa.
Yeah, it does make sense, yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Now, obviously, someone can accuse us of cannibalizing, Sikh history to fit it into a Western lens, a colonial lens, whatever bullshit they come up with nowadays. Fact is, we can answer semantics all night long, or otherwise we can just, put it at the fact that we can run out of words to describe what the true purpose of Harmandir is. We just need to live like the Guru wants us to. If that Harmandir, like, Harmandir Sahib back in the day made countless multiple Harmandirs. If it does today, I don't see why Raj Krega Khalsa Ki Rahena Koi can't become reality.
A long-term plan, it seems.
A long-term plan. And this plan was also Guru Gobind Singh's. One day, Bhai Nandalal asked Guru Gobind Singh, what's the future? And Guru Gobind Singh told him, Suno Nandalal, Saj Pargat Karuga Main Apna Raj, Char Vran Main Ek Karau, Wahe Guru Singh Ko Naam Japau. That entire verse in the Tanakhnama, that pretty much says, that the Gyan of the Guru Granth Sahib, through that Guru Gobind Singh will Pargat his Raj, and that will be Khalsa Raj. The Khalsa will rule, the Sikhs will rule, they will be famed far and wide. Sava lakh jab tuve palita tabe Khalsa ude ast lo jita. When 125,000 muskets crack, the Khalsa will rule from where the sun sets to where the sun rises. All that will be done when the Khalsa confirms to the Gyan. Darbar Sahib has been destroyed so many times, but the Khalsa didn't stop becoming a Harmandir. Today, if the Harmandir reverts to its original purpose, we will probably rule the entire world, like the Guru said, that they will rule the world if they have the Gyan, they practically implement the Gyan from where the sun sets to where the sun rises. But the fact is, we need to make ourselves able to do that. And the first thing to do that is to question ourselves and our beliefs.
Questioning yourself is one of the hardest things to do.
I mean, Ramanand standing there, maybe he's got these little bells and he's doing aarti, or maybe he's just joining his hands, or maybe he's just bashing out some, beats on a bhaja. And for him to accept his mind saying, Ramanand, buddy, what the hell are you doing? That's a very impossible step. We can't do that today, can we?
Well, some of us can, majority cannot.
The fact he did, and look where his words got him today. We don't know who he was, where he was born, what happened to him eventually. What we do know is that he gave us a gyan, and we need to live by that gyan.
Questioning yourself is not just a sense of, let's say, theocracy or religion. This thing should apply in everyday life.
Everyday life. And that should be the gyan we should be getting from the Katha at Darbar Sahib, which we don't.
Okay, as my final word, I'll give you an example of the thing we just talked about.
Yep.
Let's say you're playing rugby or cricket or whatever sport you play.
Yep.
Let's say cricket because let's say our people, Sikhs and Indian people in general, they know cricket.
Yep.
And of course, New Zealand has an excellent cricket team called the Black Caps. Okay. If you're trying to play a particular shot, don't you have to question yourself that am I doing it correctly? Is there another way of doing it correctly just to better myself? If you are a bowler, aren't you constantly trying to improve yourself by, criticizing or let's say critically analyzing your own techniques and your own bowling?
Yep.
Let's say if you are, let's say, a driver, because a lot of our Sikhs in Canada are truck drivers and everything.
Yep.
Aren't you always trying to improve yourself that how can I be better at my job? Aren't you always questioning that, okay, this is the bend, there's black ice on there, what's the best thing to do?
Yep.
Yeah, or you could say, okay, there's a blizzard in there, so what's the best thing to do? You're already trying to constantly improve yourself by questioning yourself, am I doing the right thing?
Yep.
What else can be done? If you own a shop, if you are a manager somewhere, how can I increase my productivity? How can I reduce the cost, or how can I reduce waste? So these are everyday examples that directly relate to Gurbani.
Yep. That's what we need to do. We need to become those Harmandirs by questioning ourselves.
That's the first step.
That's right. And whether you take it or not, that's your decision.
That's your decision.
Thank you for listening. Vaheguru Ji ka Khalsa.
Vaheguru
Vaheguru Ji ki
Ji.
Fateh.